in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to
oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them going on Tuesday on B&E. That is right. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, extended weekend into the Independence Day holiday yesterday. Got some fireworks, got some grilling, got some R&R, and we're ready to rock and roll on a Tuesday to recap a very, very busy stretch in the sports world. The realignment and reshakeup of college football continued over the weekend with the announcement of USC and UCLA that they are bolting to the Big Ten. We'll certainly discuss the dynamics there across the country and certainly as it pertains to Texas and the Big 12. A lot of college football conversation. Speaking of that, Longhorns continue their strong recruiting momentum through the Independence Day holiday. We've got Texas baseball, David Pierce rebuilding his coaching staff. We've got plenty of soccer. How about Austin FC last night with a huge win, and their strong season continues. Major League Baseball, Astros, the hottest thing going in the big leagues. We'll talk plenty of baseball in addition to the big stories of a Tuesday morning. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we appreciate you joining us early and often. It's Early Bird Always Gets the Worm. However you find us, on 104.9, maybe on 101.9, maybe on AM 1260, and we're always streaming for you wherever you go. Take us with you on that Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. And thrilled to bring back to the shotgun seat my good buddy, and after some time off, our buddy Bucky Godbolt. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all of those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. I hope you had a great, great holiday, and to all, please be safe and be careful out there, because it is going to be another scorcher this week.
Jeez.
And for a long time to come, because I don't see any rain in the forecast.
Me either. We got that one little hit of one day of rain.
Yes.
And the triple digits continuing for the next, gosh, 15 days or so. It looks like that's not good. But drought is on in Central Texas here in early July. Isaiah Collier is here as well. We've got plenty of NBA with the Kevin Durant demand. He wants out already in Brooklyn after joining forces with Kyrie Irving. That didn't last long. Certainly was fun.
See ya!
So we'll talk some NBA with free agency beginning and the rest of a sports Tuesday. That's going to feel like a Monday coming off of 4th of July. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. And speaking of good, how was your time
good.
Away? First time we've seen you since
good.
Last week. You
was,
took a couple days
good.
Off, and
yeah.
here you are.
Yeah, it was good. I went to a movie, actually. And
what'd you see?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, no.
Hopefully the final.
the new one.
And the final. I got to believe it's the final. But more than anything, it's just another great Steven Spielberg flick. It just was. It was good. It was good to sit there and relax for a couple hours in the air conditioning. And I'm like that commercial where those people start getting like their parents, because I go into movie theater and I get two bottle of waters and a bag of popcorn for
$25. $25.
I didn't make a scene. I tried to pull out cash, and the young lady goes, "Yes," and it was a young lady. And so I pulled out my $25. She goes, "We don't take cash." I'm like, "Oh, that's right. You guys don't like to touch money anymore. Here's some plastic." And $25, something in
two waters and a popcorn?
Say, what is it? But you can refill the popcorn. They put it in a bag. It's like a big-ass trash bag, like a big brown bag. So you can go back. They must have a machine. You hit the button. But I don't know how you get that butter in there again. But, Zay, that bottle must have been $7 a piece.
Yeah, they ran you up. I mean, that's what they do at the movie theater. You gotta come prepared.
You gotta bring your stuff.
Yeah, you gotta
bring your own.
Yeah, you gotta hit up HEB earlier and get them snacks early.
But
you
throw
that.
Throw in the wife's purse or what? Where do you put
it?
The wife's purse. Yeah,
wife's purse.
Because nobody touches you. Nobody checks you going in.
No, they don't touch you. They don't touch cash. Gosh,
I usually wear cargo shorts when I go to the movies.
That's what I had too. Cargo shorts. I didn't bring anything, but it was fun. It was a good movie to see, and there's a couple other flicks I want to go alone now.
Oh, no.
Going up there and paying $25.
Hey, honey, you can't go. I can't afford two waters.
No, I can't afford two of these. Are you kidding me?
We can't do two waters.
No, that was a nice. It was a nice afternoon date, and it was nice. It was good to see that movie, and I've liked all the Jurassic Parks. They're kind of all similar, but hopefully this is the last of the last.
Last of the last.
I don't know what else you can do. That Barbasol can or whatever, where they put the little creatures.
Well, I told you I went to
embryos
see,
or whatever in.
I went like everybody to see Top Gun Maverick recently. You know, I guess it's 3 weeks ago now, but that's the first time I've been to the movie theater in 2 years at least, maybe longer for crying out loud. But yeah,
it was really good. It was a nice treat.
All right, well, a little movie, little air conditioning, which is always good.
A lot of air conditioning.
Hydrating while you're watching the dinosaurs, which is a good thing. We watched a film over the weekend at home, but we finally saw Coda. Have you seen Coda? The film that won Best Picture?
No, I have not.
CODA stands for Child of Deaf Adults.
No, I've been watching
that. Really a good movie.
Yeah,
really
good
movie.
I've been
I would
watching
recommend that.
The Hallmark
Channel.
Christmas in July. Christmas in July has been fantastic. I know the ending to all of them, Zay.
Christmas
but it's still
in
good.
July.
It's still good. It's still heartwarming. You know, it was nice to go to a theater without a bunch of F-bombs. You know, Jurassic Park, not a bunch of cursing. Not, you know, it was just a movie. You know what I mean?
Entertainment.
Yeah, it was entertainment. It really was good.
All right.
How are you not cursing? I'm sorry. How are you not cursing where dinosaurs are attacking you?
No.
Exactly.
I feel like it should be rated R.
It should be. It should be. I don't know.
I'd be cursing.
Yeah, I'd be cursing my ass off.
Run! Yeah, it was. But it's just a movie without, you know, I mean, it had dialogue, but there wasn't a lot of, I don't even recall anybody dropping any F-bombs. I know I would have been if I'd have been on the scene. I'd be the only guy swearing at the dinosaurs.
All right, let's get you caught up on the news of the morning. It's a busy Tuesday. There's a lot happening. UBO Business Services brings it to you. We'll start with the 40 Acres, Texas baseball, and the Longhorns. It appears David Pierce has finalized the rebuild of his coaching staff. Came down over the weekend with word that Texas has hired longtime major leaguer Woody Williams to replace Sean Allen as the team's pitching coach. Of course, Allen dismissed the day after the 2022 season ended after an 0-2 performance at the College World Series. Following a 14-year major league career, the 55-year-old Williams has spent the last 6 years as the pitching coach at San Jacinto Junior College, where he's helped develop 15 pitchers drafted in the MLB draft. That'll be his task at Texas. Back on Thursday, reports surfaced that David Pierce had added former Baylor Bears head coach Steve Rodriguez to the staff as the team's hitting coach. Texas football. Longhorns added another big piece to their 2023 recruiting class on Sunday with the commitment of four-star defensive lineman Sadir Mitchell from Bergen, New Jersey. Bergen Catholic High School there in New Jersey. 6'5", 335-pounder. Picked the Longhorns over a really head-to-head battle with the Georgia Bulldogs. A&M and Miami were also in the mix. He cited a strong relationship with D-line coach Bo Davis. He becomes the 18th overall commitment in the 2023 class. He's the 9th composite 4-star pledge. And currently, Texas currently leads the nation in 5-star commitments with, of course, quarterback Arch Manning, safety Derek Williams, and wide receiver Jonte Cook. In Denver last night, Austin FC rallied from an early 2-0 deficit to earn a 3-2 win at Colorado. Colorado scored two goals in the first 25 minutes to put the Austin FC in a hole, but Ethan Finley scored in the 28th minute off a speed from John Gallagher to cut the lead to 2-1. Then just seconds before that, Gallagher found Sebastian Druisi, who found the back of the net to tie the game at 2 at the intermission. In the second half, Max Urede scored the go-ahead goal in the second half early on. Verde and Black able to hold on from there for the victory. They're now 10-4-4 on the year, 34 points. Tied for second, or actually the second most in the entire MLS, and good for second place in the Western Conference behind the LAFC. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros, continued their hot streak yesterday at Minute Maid Park as they rallied from 5 runs down to beat Kansas City 7-6, their 7th straight win. Yordan Alvarez played the hero, belted his 24th home run of the year with 2 outs in the 9th, a walk-off win. Houston has won 15 of their last 18. They now own the largest division lead in all of Major League Baseball, 13.5 up on second place Seattle. Third place Rangers lost in Baltimore yesterday 7-6. Round Rock celebrated Independence Day with a 5-3 win over Albuquerque out of Del Diamond. Speaking of Independence Day, what would a 4th of July be without Joey Chestnut? That's right. The GOAT gobbled his way to a 15th win at the Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest yesterday. He powered down 63 hot dogs and buns, the annual exhibition of excess. Miki Sudo downed 40 wieners and buns to win the women's title.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
There you go. A lot of hot dogs being eaten. How about Joey Chestnut? He had to wrestle off a protester, put him in a headlock while he continued to chow down on the wieners. This guy is a machine.
Or somebody got something against pigs?
I guess. I mean, somebody charged the stage and wanted to protest. And, yeah, Joey Chestnut just, like, got him in a headlock and gave him, like, a noogie.
He should have just puked on him.
And then just kept on eating.
God, that guy can eat.
And he was on crutches. Guy's on crutches, beating up protesters, eating hot dogs.
He slammed those hot dogs at the end and then wiped his face, hand across his face, get the sweat off. I'm like, damn, that's nasty.
People were really comparing this to Michael Jordan's flu game since homeboy is a cripple at this point. That's the most disrespectful thing to Michael Jordan I've ever heard in my life.
That is so gross.
Very similar to Michael Jordan in Utah.
Very similar.
I mean, it couldn't be like, it's right on point. What a parallel. Wow. What a parallel. That's what I was thinking.
That stuff has made my stomach hurt all this morning watching. I mean, he was pushing him down.
Indigestion. Get out the Pepto.
That's all right. Got to be good at something.
63. Well, you got to be good at something.
15th championship.
Well, he
15
not
titles.
Not only is he good at it, he's the goodest. He's the GOAT.
Wow.
He's the goodest excess eater of all time. So, good for Joey Chestnut. That is one of those 4th of July things. 4th of July things that they do, I guess.
And one quick Tuesday. Which is, it is Tuesday, correct?
Today is Tuesday, the 5th of July. That
just
is correct,
before Thursday's buck. I had to buck on my neighborhood for doing a great job because there were going to be fireworks last night, but the young people in my neighborhood and their parents, they had fireworks that were on the street and not in the yards, you know, because it is dry as a mother out where I live. I mean, it's crackling.
Getting
crunchy. The grass is crackling.
Is your grass turning into cornflakes?
But whatever they were doing, the fireworks, it was in the streets, you know what I mean, on... It wasn't shooting up into the, and they were just stuff that you threw on the ground and they popped right there. And they only went on for about an hour or so. This still did not go like it generally does in my neighborhoods where I've been to 1 o'clock, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. This thing went on for about an hour and then it was done. It was over with.
Over.
No, there was no late night 1 o'clock, say, all of a sudden somebody got out of bed and started, oh, I still got six left and started that stuff. It was good. They got it over with quick. And, you know, they weren't shooting them in the backyards or in anybody else's yards because it is. You're talking bone dry? Man.
Bone dry. It is, yeah, be careful. Triple digits all week, it looks like. And even in the next week, hunt temperatures in the 103, 104 range here in July with a lot to do. Just a busy week. This says you needed some time for the update. Yeah, there was a lot going on. Texas baseball, the rebuild is apparently done for David Pierce. We'll get into some Texas baseball coming up. You know, do they land who they wanted or do they have to settle for some guys? That's going to be a question for David Pierce moving forward. Texas football continues to land big time recruits, which we'll get into coming up. Austin FC is red hot, as we mentioned.
Yeah, Houston great Astros. Job by Danny Pereira. He's back.
He is back. But let's start with the news of the weekend, Buck, because obviously on Thursday, after we got out of here on Thursday,
yep.
Ahead of the weekend, the news came down that rocked college football and college athletics that USC and UCLA are bolting to the Big Ten. They are, you know, 1 year after Texas and Oklahoma made their shocking announcement to the college football world and reminded everybody that conference realignment is not over. Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. The Big Ten responds, landing USC and UCLA. Some early thoughts on that decision.
Yeah, I mean, see you later, Rose Bowl. But, I mean, there'll be other folks landing out of the Pac-12. Stanford will be next, probably.
Well, that's
the athletic program of Stanford and the academic program of Stanford. I'm really surprised that they're not. I don't know if there's room in the Big Ten, but I don't know how the Big 12 is going to play out. But maybe they should have held on just a little bit longer.
Who's they? The Big 12?
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, 1 year later, the Big 12 was staggered last year at this time. There's no doubt.
Sure.
With Texas and Oklahoma bolting. They were on life support. I mean, there was a, you know, remember when Bob Bowlesby, the now outgoing commissioner, had to send a cease and desist letter to ESPN to tell them to get your fingers off the scale here because they were, you know, he argued they were trying to tip it and in favor of.
By the way, they're still tipping it. They're still running this whole thing.
Well, this was the Big 12, but I mean, the UCLA USC thing is Fox. That's 100% Fox. I mean, that is Fox's response to Texas and Oklahoma, ESPN engineering that move. But remember, Bob Bowlesby fires off the cease and desist letter because he believed that that ESPN was trying to really dismantle the Big 12, to crush the Big 12 by propping up the American Athletic Conference and you know letting you know help, encouraging those teams with financial benefit to you know take you know add the top teams out of the Big 12. Instead, the Big 12 stood strong, added the four best teams or three of the best teams out of the American Athletic Conference, and a year later, they're in a good place. And now with this move, which again is a complete Fox response to ESPN. Fox owns the Big Ten contract, which is you know, the most lucrative in all of college football.
Yep.
ESPN owns the SEC. And so those are the two power players, Fox and ESPN. They're engineering this. And here's where Fox is, right? Fox lands the West Coast. So Fox now can, you know, they have a coastal conference. They have a conference that spans from Rutgers, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Where was that? Piscataway?
Piscataway.
Right outside of New York City, which is the largest media market in this country. They also have Chicago in the Midwest and huge campuses throughout the Midwest. And now they have gone all the way to the West Coast to add the second largest TV market in all of this country with Los Angeles, with two schools in USC and UCLA. So they go coastal. And they are the biggest of the big dogs as far as revenue goes. When they ink their new deal, their new TV deal, which they are, their commissioner is negotiating right now, the addition of USC and UCLA just takes this thing to the next level. And for USC and UCLA, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you jump into a conference where USC made, you know, $30-35 million last year on TV rights. The new package in the Big Ten is anticipated to net each school roughly $100 million annually, $100 million, which will triple what either of them were making. So,
again, about 20, almost 25 more than what the SEC does.
More than the SEC. That is correct. Because the Big Ten can now say something the SEC can't. The SEC doesn't go coast to coast. They don't play in every time zone. The westernmost flank of the SEC will be Texas, right? As far as that goes. Now the Big Ten goes coast to coast. But here's what I'll say about the Big 12. You know, 1 year ago they were on life support. Now, because the Pac-12 has been so destabilized by losing two flagship programs, and their commissioner, you know, they just replaced their commissioner a year ago, but the previous commissioner, Larry Scott, was so asleep at the wheel. Essentially, the other 10 schools there are free agents. There's no granting of rights issue with them. So if the Big 12, with their brand new commissioner, who just was put in place last week, if they're aggressive, they could add potentially
Oregon,
Arizona,
Stanford.
Yes, they could add Arizona, Arizona State. They could add Utah. They could add Colorado. And yes, they could actually add Oregon and Washington. And they could say the same thing as the Big Ten. The Big 12 all of a sudden could become the third conference going coast to coast. They can go from the Eastern time zone to West Virginia and Cincinnati, west into the, you know, into the Midwest, of course, with the bulk of the Big 12. But then they could play west and add the desert schools, Oregon. I mean, this could be a boon for the Big 12 potentially if they're aggressive, because the Pac-12 is on life support at this point. The other question right now about realignment is, where does Notre Dame land? Because Notre Dame remains the independent. BYU, of course, is going to no longer be in the land of independent. They're joining the Big 12. Well, Notre Dame needs to fall into a conference at this point, and you wonder if that's now going to be the Big 10. I know they're aligned with the ACC.
Well, it only makes sense for them to be in the Big 10.
Doesn't it? And now the Big 10, well, think about this. The conversation for Notre Dame is, you know, can NBC pay them $100 million a year? No. Can the Big 10? Yes. So you join the Big Ten, and you play football and all your sports in the Big Ten. They're kind of half in the ACC and half out of the ACC, but they can get out of that deal if they need to. They've never sold their granting of rights. They still own their independence as far as that goes. Of course, they got into the conference and, you know, played in a conference title game in the COVID year because they needed to. But without that, they're still independent. You wonder, because they need to get into a conference. And it, obviously, we know.
We've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, it's going to the mega conferences.
Sure.
And the two mega conferences are the Big Ten and the SEC. But to me, the thing of local interest is the Big 12, who, again, 1 year ago was on life support, could actually be proactive and end up as the third conference. They could actually surpass the ACC with the ability to add these, the West Coast, the Western flank of whatever the new branded Big 12 would be.
Yeah, I just don't see. I don't see Stanford rolling in here. I see Stanford trying still to get into the Big 10.
Well, the people I've talked to over the weekend wonder if the academic schools of the West Coast, the Cal Berkeleys, the Stanfords, the remaining big, you know, Pac-12 teams, are almost like, you know what, we're not going to get into this arms race of college football. It's almost like they're too academic, and they want it to be about school still, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you know that's not the case with Washington and Oregon.
No.
Oregon wants
it
a big conference.
Yes.
They want to play at the highest levels, and now USC has walked out the door. That was their big fish.
Oh, and Arizona State,
yes,
for sure.
In a growing market like Phoenix. The Big 12 really could be aggressive here. And land
just have three power
strong
conferences,
position.
Yes.
Now
four.
They, now they
actually.
don't. Now, who becomes their TV network is huge. It's ESPN currently. But think about that, Buck, because the SEC is ESPN. Fox is the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And it's all driven by the money coming from television. So if you're the new commissioner of the Big 12, and this is a brand new guy who comes in from outside. He doesn't know. I was told that Bob Bowlesby may hang on for a couple of months just to help the transition because things are happening so
quickly.
Oh, and
he's going to make some outside-the-circle moves.
Well, and you guess what? If you become the third conference as far as the ability to go coast-to-coast, 16 teams from the Eastern time zone to the Midwest to the West, and again, that's important because, you know, it's all about TV. And if you can play a game, a big game, every Saturday in each TV window – where you're playing at 11 in the morning, you got a big 2:30 game, you got a big 6 o'clock game, and now you're playing games, big games in the prime time in the West Coast, but those 9 o'clock windows where Texas Tech's playing Oregon, right, at 9 o'clock at night, that is possible, and that drives TV dollars. Well, if you're the Big 12 and you're the incoming commissioner, along with the assistance of Bob Bowlesby, can you be aggressive now? Go back to your TV partners and say, look, Let's jack this thing up. Let's make us. Now, we're not going to make $100 million a year per school like the Big Ten is, because they're in media markets 1, 2, 3, and you know they're in the biggest media markets throughout the Midwest and now on the West Coast.
Yeah, I would try to.
Could you be aggressive and get land even in a stronger position than you had been previously?
Well, I would try to get the two Arizona schools, Colorado,
Utah,
Stanford. Or Stanford or Oregon, one of those two is going to go elsewhere, I believe. So,
well, and that's
somehow.
But I would go after Oregon and Washington.
I go after the money when I go after Oregon. Stanford's got money too. Believe you know that.
I would go after Washington because the big state school. You know, Seattle's a big market. Oregon is Oregon with Phil Knight and the Nike money and what comes from that. They're a big brand.
Mm-hmm.
That one, gosh, the Big 12 would land. And now you're 16, right? Texas and Oklahoma are out, but you've already added four. With the additions of Cincinnati, Central Florida, BYU, and Houston. And I mean, think about that. You know, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, Houston now is an important school for the Big 12 because that's the fourth largest media market in the country. And you have DFW, which is another massive media market when it comes to TV negotiations. And you've got TCU in the conference. And Texas Tech obviously gets a lot of Metroplex viewership. And now you're going to say you're going to the West Coast in a big market like Phoenix, Denver, Colorado, Seattle, Washington. I mean, this just expands your footprint dramatically. And I also wonder this, and we'll get to the timeout. We'll take your thoughts on the reshuffling of college football.
They're going to just stop playing football at Cal?
Well, they'll just play in the lower
right.
conference or whatever. You're not.
Which San Diego State knows?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they'll play.
San Jose State?
Because, look, we're headed to, 30 sure. or 40 mega schools and
Absolutely.
Mega conferences playing in two or three conferences. And that's where it's been headed. And whether people like that or not, that's where it's going. It's all driven by TV dollars.
Absolutely.
But the Big 12 really could end up as number three. Not to just dismiss the ACC, but there's talk, where does the ACC go with what the SEC is doing? I mean, those are all questions that are going to come. But, man, it's amazing how 1 year ago it was Texas and Oklahoma. This year it's USC and UCLA.
Only thing to power the ACC if Notre Dame just said, we're just going to join the ACC. That's the only power play they have, really.
But guess what? You know what talks.
Oh,
blank
yeah.
talks and BS walks. And
for
the money's
sure.
going to talk when the Big Ten says, because remember, ACC has already signed their TV deal. And it's through the granting of rights in the Atlantic Coast Conference for those schools is through 2036.
Bye, y'all.
So they're landlocked. I mean, I know people have talked about Clemson jumping, Florida State, where are they going to go, Miami. They're stuck in that conference until 2036, and everything I've read is that those contracts are ironclad. If they tried to move, like a Clemson tried to jump into the SEC, their media rights would still belong to the ACC until 2036. So they're pretty much stuck, and that's where Notre Dame is. If they're going to land, I think they're going to land in the Big Ten just because the money is so much greater. And obviously, Notre Dame joining what is now the powerhouse 16-team Big Ten would just, to make it the 17th team and to bring that fan base?
Absolutely.
Gosh, the revenues are crazy. And you guess who's helping to push that conversation is Fox. Fox TV would love to land Notre Dame. And don't be surprised if they don't work with NBC on that. Like, hey, NBC, we'll cut you in on this. And we'll cut you in on
sure.
this deal. You can still keep Notre Dame. You just come under our umbrella because Fox is out to compete with ESPN. And the Southeastern Conference. I mean, that's obviously what they're fighting for. And it's Fox versus ESPN. It's college football. It's the big business of it. And it's ever-changing. And guess what? The Big 12 Media Days, Buck, are in 2 weeks. And we'll get up there, and we'll try to find the lay of the land. But it makes you wonder this. If what I'm saying about the Big 12 now being aggressive with a new commissioner, fresh set of eyes, and an opportunity, does this open up the opportunity for Texas and Oklahoma to get out sooner?
For sure.
To where the new commissioner says, you know what? Y'all go. We'll cut a deal. We'll negotiate out.
We don't want you guys sitting at any of their tables, period.
We want to go rebrand ourselves as the next big dog. And good luck to you guys.
By the way, you guys still owe us some money on your way out.
A negotiated settlement. And Texas and Oklahoma saying, we're not paying. We'll wait till 2025. You want all of it.
They want you out too, really.
Now it might be in the Big 12's best interest to say, okay, you guys go on get, we're going to go add, six new schools, and or four new schools from the West Coast.
We're having Oregon. They got money too. Washington.
Yeah, and Phoenix and Denver and Seattle, Washington, and all of a sudden the Big 12's footprint is completely different, and it goes coast to coast. That's an opportunity, and they're bringing in a commissioner who seems to, be an outside-the-box, aggressive, visionary kind of guy.
Out of all this movement, does that have anything to do with Quinn throwing them bombs? Is Quinn still throwing
Quinn
bombs?
Quinn is still throwing them bombs. And Steve Sarkisian is still throwing them recruiting bombs.
He's throwing them after dark bombs.
How about going and getting a 340-pounder out of Bergen Catholic in New Jersey? Boy. We'll get you details on
Syracuse, North Carolina, Penn State, all those schools back there, Boston College, they are like, damn.
We will get you
Texas
the latest.
Up here?
Texas up in here. Sadir Mitchell out of Bergen Catholic is the latest Longhorn commitment, 18th on the class. We'll talk some football recruiting. We'll get into David Pearson, the rebuild of the Texas coaching staff. We'll get to all the top stories on this Tuesday after the long Independence Day holiday and weekend. Happy birthday, USA, USA. We're coming right back on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, what a Tuesday. Hope you had a great weekend. Whatever you did, yesterday was just jam-packed with 4th of July, Independence Day celebrations, live music, that concert out of Q2 Stadium featuring Willie Nelson. Of course, it was Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic with Jason Isbell. I mean, they had bands from noon until about 11:30 last night with Willie Nelson and company, and some fireworks, whatever you were doing to get out and see live music or get to the water, stay cool, stay hydrated, celebrate our nation's birthday. We are back with you on this Tuesday morning, and a lot going on, the changing face of college football and college athletics with the announcement that headed into the weekend of USC and UCLA headed to the Big Ten. As we said earlier, it's a basic power play, television-driven, with ESPN and Fox jockeying for the top two mega conferences. The next questions will be, and it's interesting, Buck, here in the month of July, all the conferences will have their conference media days, right? I mean, they'll kind of launch the season. We will certainly be up in Arlington for Big 12 football media days. Coming up later in the month, July 13th and 14th, I think, are the days. And, there'll be a lot of questions. There were going to be a lot of questions anyhow. Now they're, tenfold with the news of the destabilizing of the Pac-12. This says, guys, if I were in the Big 12, I would predict that there's a Big 12 Pac-12 merger at the top of this conference. That's very possible, too, that the Big 12 and the Pac-12 merge and become one entity. Potentially. I mean, that certainly is within the realm. But as I said off the top, if I'm Big 12, I'm going aggressive. Because the Pac-12 was so asleep at the wheel, there really is nothing preventing those schools from jumping. I mean, they don't have granting of rights. I mean, they don't have anything in place because their new TV deal is being negotiated right now. And now USC, and it's a reason USC and UCLA can leave right now and enter the Big Ten within 2 years. They're going to be in there in 2024 without penalty or having to pay
they're
any.
Gone.
They're done. And people, I got a bunch of messages on Twitter from people, well, how come Texas has to wait till 25 and it's going to cost so much? Well, that's because the Big 12, upon all of the movement previously, put in place, contractual wording that's called granting of rights, that you're locked into this conference. And if you want to leave, you got to pay us a lot of money. You got to buy us out, essentially, if you decide to leave.
By the way, thanks for really helping us out this whole time.
Yeah, USC doesn't have that. UCLA doesn't have that. Pac-12 didn't have that in place, which to me, if you're the Big 12 and you're fluid as it is and you're adding schools already, why wouldn't you just go after more? I mean, really, become a coastal.
Well, yeah, if you're adding Cincinnati's of the world and Central Florida's.
Well, I mean, it just makes – and people talk about, whatever happened to regional football and we play in our region. Well, that's over. I mean, that's – you're talking about the Big Ten that spans from New Jersey to California to Los Angeles now. It's a coast-to-coast conference. It's a mega conference. But if the Big 12 were smart, in my opinion, they would go after and become another coast-to-coast conference. I mean, you can go from Morgantown, West Virginia in the east to Seattle, Washington in the west, and, you know, Oregon and the desert schools. I mean, you really could. And that's for TV dollars, Buck, and for footprint and for the ability to create revenue for your schools. That's what the TV networks want, is big media markets, coast-to-coast, playing every TV window with big games. That's what they're looking for. And that's, you know, the Big Ten, I know the SEC is the premier football conference as far as quality of play and, you know, the best players playing the SEC, but the Big Ten is the revenue king. It is the revenue king because they have the largest, you know, these are all big state schools for the most part in the Big Ten, and they play in the biggest media markets and provide the biggest media markets of, you know, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles now, all through the Midwest. And they're going to generate. And if they had Notre Dame, good night.
Yeah, for sure.
Close the door. On Big Ten, we'll make so much money on an annual basis. And yes, is it semi-pro football? Yes.
No, it is pro football.
It's semi.
Not semi.
It's NFL light.
They do school at Stanford and some of the places, Cal. But it's the NFL.
It's as close to it as you're going to get.
Right.
And I know we've talked about the current Pac-12 commissioner who's come in. He's trying to clean up the mess of Larry Scott. He was the one we quoted. It's talking about why there's kind of support among the leaders of college football to take the control of football away from the NCAA, build our own, you know, structure. We run football, let the NCAA run everything else in college athletics. And I think we're moving closer and closer to that. Because, the Big Ten with their additions are now 16, right? Mm-hmm. Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC makes them 16. If the Big 12 were aggressive and went after, you know, 16 more teams, well, now you're at 48 teams, right? I mean, so, okay. And the ACC, which gets you to 60. These are the top 60 teams in college football. This is essentially the teams playing at the best. This is apples to apples. These are the teams that are creating a ton of revenue. And yes, do you separate the haves and the have-nots again? For sure. But you actually get to your top 60 or so, maybe 64.
It was going to happen.
And we, you know, you and I have talked about this for a decade now, since the initial wave of conference realignment when A&M and you know, the Big 12 destabilized. Well, guess what? Now we're going closer to that. And in four 16-team conferences, which gets you to 64 teams, that's the power of college football. The rest play in a separate division, essentially, and really for a second tier. That's where college football is headed, and the Big Ten will be the leader of that. The SEC will be the two big, and some just think it's going to be the two Big Ten and the SEC when it's all said and done.
Everybody's going to join in on those.
They're going to be the highest revenue. I mean, they're going to be the biggest, you know, the biggest TV dollars because ESPN and Fox are pushing it that direction. But I don't think there's any reason the Big 12 with the remaining schools still can't be a power player at the big table if they're aggressive right now. Because go after it. Go after these Pac, because the Pac-12 is completely destabilized. Now's the time to go after the top schools in the Big 12 and not apologize for it. Just, I mean, go do it. And, you know, the ACC is kind of stuck right now because they can't go anywhere. They're an East Coast conference. For sure. That's all they can do. Whereas the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Big 12, and the Big 12 in particular, can really spread out across the country from East Coast to Midwest to West and the desert. And you're talking about, when you talk about footprints, it's a very large footprint the Big 12 could have.
Yeah, and this gets Texas and OU out of the Big 12 quicker, I believe.
That would be the hope. That would be the hope. And that all, hopefully, I don't know if we'll have answers at the Big 12 Media Days coming up in a couple weeks, but the questions will be asked. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Hope you had a great weekend. So we got that. We've got Texas baseball, which we'll get to. David Pearson, our coach's corner next hour. We'll dive into the rebuild of the Texas coaching staff under David Pierce that has happened after their trip to Omaha. It appears that it is a done deal, so we'll talk about that. But, Buck, what do we make of the Texas Longhorns adding? This is a big one. We talked about Sidir Mitchell going into the holiday and to the break. We're talking about defensive players. We know Arch Manning and the Arch Madness started this a couple of weeks ago now. Well, since Arch, there's been 11 more commitments, and the latest being Sunday night's commitment of four-star defensive tackle Sidir Mitchell. He is 6'5". He's 335 pounds. He was seen as the, you know, for Coach Pete Kwiatkowski and the defensive staff and Bo Davis, this was a you know, if you go back to Coach PK's teams at Washington, where they had the Vita Veas on the interior,
right.
Those big, massive defensive tackles. His scheme is built around that, right? You want those guys that hold up the line. You can't move them. And everything builds around that. Sadir Mitchell was seen as a huge, huge piece. And Bo Davis and Pete Kwiatkowski essentially won a recruitment head-to-head with Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a kid that's going to continue to grow and get better and get stronger at the position that he's playing, too. He's not this self-made guy that, you know, walks in there. It's just a matter of how soon can you get him in there and how soon can he grow. Once again, eventually your recruiting will outweigh your coaching, and we'll find out if this group can coach, because over the next couple of years you're going to find out how good Sark is as a coach.
Sure.
Because talent-wise, it's now coming. So, as I said, you keep getting 4- and 5-star recruits, dude, they will outweigh your coaching. You can make some bad coaching decisions, and the talent that you have will outweigh some of your bad decisions.
Correct. And we've seen 1 year of coaching for Texas, and it wasn't great.
No, it was not great. It was terrible at 5-7.
And there were issues across the board, but that needs to improve.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. But, I mean, you know, because I know, you know, before you were out last week, the conversation was, okay, these are all offensive recruits. These are all offensive commitments. Arch Manning, Jontae Cook at receiver, big offensive line class again with 4 that committed, you know, a week ago Sunday on the same day. Well, okay, where are the defensive players? Well, here we go, right? You added the one of the top safeties in the country, Derek Williams.
Who will be playing next year, I believe.
Well, he's got to play his senior year, but in 2023.
Yeah, he will be playing immediately.
People think he's a walk-in impact player.
Right.
Now you've added this on the defensive line, and there are still a lot of folks who think the number one linebacker in the country, the kid from Denton, is a.
Does that look like it's going to take some time?
He's down to Texas and Texas A&M. He is the number one linebacker in the nation, and there are those, you know, I'm sure.
Does it sound like he wants to do this before the season starts, or just want to watch?
Oh, yeah. I think most of these top guys will declare ahead of their senior years, so get mm-hmm. this out of the way and focus, like you know, Peyton Manning said to Arch, you know, go make your decision, be confident in it, and then go play and enjoy your senior season of high school football. I do think the kid from Denton, the linebacker. So, I mean, you had a top safety, a top linebacker, and this kid,
right,
who is on the defensive front. I mean, this is you're trying to add not just players, but impact players. 18 commitments now. The Longhorns up to number 2 in the composite recruiting rankings, behind only Ohio State. Notre Dame is having a great run as well. But those are your top 3 schools right now as far as recruiting for 2023. And now here come the defensive side of the ball on the heels of the Arch Manning.
Absolutely.
So, good stuff. For Texas, but we'll get into the what's to come with the Longhorns and the football. But 18 commitments now, and really since Arch Manning, that's 11 commitments since Arch Manning committed, or 12, which is pretty crazy. The Arch effect has really, really had an impact. All right, we'll pick that up. We'll get into Texas baseball. Your thoughts on conference realignment as USC and UCLA are bolting to the Big Ten, which has set the college football world on its ear. Plus the weekend of all things, Austin FC with the nice win. How about a come-from-behind win for Austin FC in Denver over the weekend? We'll get to it and the rest of a busy Tuesday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good, bad, and ugly on a Tuesday, normally on a Monday, but yesterday was our nation's birthday, so we celebrated Independence Day. Hopefully you had a good one. So we'll do good, bad, and ugly on this Tuesday. Plenty of good, including the Longhorn recruiting train. You can decide whether it's good, bad, or ugly, the changing face of college football, college athletics, and the continued conference realignment, the big dollars. We'll get back into that. Also, Buck, on the good side, Austin FC down 2-0 within 25 minutes of their match in Denver. They rally for a 3-2 win over Colorado with 2 goals before the half to tie it. And then the winner in the second half, I think, was Sebastian Gerisi with the game winner. And Austin FC now 34 points on the year. It's the second most in all of the MLS, trailing only LAFC in the Western Conference. They're playing some really, really good.
It's an offensive dynamo, and they're right there with them.
They certainly are. 34 points, more than anybody in the East. 32 is the top over in the East. 10-4-4 on the year. So 10 wins, 4 losses, and 4 draws for Austin FC in their second year, playing about halfway through the season, playing some really, really good soccer right now. They are right where they want to be, I think. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros have won 7 in a row. How about back-to-back walk-off wins? The kid Jeremy Pena hit the walk-off homer on Sunday to finish the sweep of their series with the Angels. And then they turn around yesterday, get down 5 runs to the Royals, rally and beat them. Kyle Tucker had a big hit in the 8th, and then Yordan Alvarez, his 24th home run in the 9th, and the Astros win that ballgame 7-6, walk-off again. As we said in the early in the update, Astros have the largest division lead of any team in the big leagues, 13.5 games. They lead the Mariners in the American League West.
Yeah, I see that it'll be them and the Yankees at the end.
Certainly will be. Certainly will be when it's all said and done. And also on the good side, our guy Joey Chestnut. They call him Jaws. They call him Jaws Chestnut, Buck.
I don't even watch it. I mean, I've never watched either. The whole.
I can't watch for
just
1 second.
See highlights of a guy sweating like mad and then wiping his face down with his hand that's been over his mouth.
Well, this guy mouths
like a 5-year-old, you know?
It's competitive.
He must make some cash from Nathan.
Competitive eating. Zay, you said they compared him to Michael Jordan's flu game?
Like, yeah, I almost lost it when I saw that bogusness.
Because, so he's on crutches, but he's still up there chowing the hot dogs with the buns in the Nathan's hot dog contest, eating contest.
Yeah, even Kevin Durant thinks that's wrong.
And Zay, we haven't gotten your thoughts yet on Kevin Durant. This is the other big story that dropped on Thursday. We were off on Friday, so didn't get to talk about it. To me, Kevin Durant just continues to throw his legacy down the toilet as far as an all-time great. He was the one that wanted to build the team in Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving, his buddy, and now they went out and got James Harden. They did the things that the players wanted, and now he wants to bail 2 years into the Brooklyn experiment. What do you say, Zay?
Yeah, it's disappointing. Very disappointing. I mean, a guy that signed a 4-year, $198 million contract, and now he wants to dip. And
he hasn't played that many games for them.
No, hell no. He hasn't played many at all. Remember, he missed that whole year. They could have came back during the bubble. Him and Kyrie said, nope, even though we're in the playoffs, we're not coming back. So it's just, it's ridiculous at this point. The fact that he wants to go to the Heat and the Phoenix Suns or his true.
Oh, the number one seeds in each conference.
That's just, come on, KD. That's just bogus. The fact that the Warriors are trying to fight for him again in a way, that's ridiculous. And I have no respect for them for trying to go after him with them winning the ring. Like, they're going to get rid of Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole to get Kevin Durant back. Like, don't destroy the league again. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
That is destroying the league.
I haven't heard that one. Warriors with all that young talent.
They're willing to talk, you know,
Wiggins,
talk it over.
Really?
Front office. Yeah, they're willing to talk it over.
Well, if you're Brooklyn, that'd be the team you want to trade with because they got all that young talent. If you're going to trade Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving wants to get dealt, I mean, what a mess that is. But
I'm not bringing them I'm not bringing Kevin Durant and Kyrie with me. No.
The only team that really wants Kyrie is the Lakers.
Well, here's the thing. And I know Kevin Durant's a lifetime Longhorn and you know, will always be.
That dude's a baby.
But, yeah, I mean, legacies are built on leadership and being the alpha. And, gosh, Kevin Durant will always go down as one of the greatest scorers of all time. But if he wants to be in the pantheon of great all-time players, you can't – what do you call it, Zay? Dip? You can't dip when the going – I mean, dipped out of Oklahoma City – got to Golden State, won 2 championships, won 2 finals MVPs on a team that had already won championships.
And then won after he was gone.
And then won it out because Draymond Green yelled at him and was mean to him. Lands in Brooklyn with the enigma known as Kyrie Irving.
You know, I'll take him. I'll take him in Philly today, right now, Joel Embiid. Give it to me.
So now he demands a trade, and as they said, his choices are the 2 top teams in each conference as far as record last year. Could you be more of a front runner?
Jimmy Butler would punch him in the nuts in about 2 days.
I mean, build your own. I mean, for 1 more year, you couldn't get with Kyrie Irving and say, hey, let's run this back. You and me.
We've been hurt.
We'll get Ben Simmons on board. I mean, lead this team. You're in Brooklyn. This is what you wanted. And now you already want out? Would you call him soft?
Him? Oh, he is soft.
If he comes out and says, you know what, Kyrie Irving is a punk-ass mother, then I respect him a little more.
Well, the thing I read this weekend is that he's mad because they're mad at Kyrie.
Yeah.
That's his buddy.
Let us know that Kyrie has made it so bad for you, you had to leave. I respect that so much
I
more.
Would, too. Just blame it on Kyrie.
Just blame it on him.
Just straight
up.
Blame
throwing
him
in the bus.
I can understand that. Just blame it all on him. This is all because of Kyrie. I want out of Brooklyn. I understand that. That's
Kevin,
good.
It's your, KD, it's your legacy, though. It's your all-time.
You can't go back to the Golden State Warriors. You cannot do that.
We'll be back.